previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
A little roasted roastiness.
It's definitely like a better sweet.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm getting...
Like, we gotta make some beer to go with all this cheese.
See how clever we are?
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between.
I'm in between.
That's right.
Yes, you are.
Chris is firmly sandwiched between my guys.
I don't like where this is going. Keep going.
I'll be your host this week. I'm Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada, and going on this journey with me through the world of beers today is...
Fantastic voyage.
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
And this is Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
That's right, people. We are going on a trip around the world of American craft beer.
Journey to the center of the hop.
Right. Our theme...
Around the world.
Well, that's awesome. Aren't we the center of the world?
Oh. Oh, for American craft beer.
Just ask any American.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's our theme today. All of our beers have a sort of geographical journey type
adventure.
Adventure, right?
Indiana Jones proved.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe.
I hope so.
I think Disney's Adventureland. Jungle Cruise.
So we are starting off with our fermentation conversation, which is Sierra Nevada's Southern Hemisphere Harvest Fresh Hop Ale 2010.
Love the fresh hops.
Yes. And from there, we've got, we might have some hop topics. We're still kind of going over that.
Yes, right that now. Is in debate. It's in the
Making
discussion
notes.
In the Beer Coaster boardroom.
And from there, in our tasting flight, Chris, where will your beer be taking you on this journey?
I will be journeying to the Lost Continent from Grand Teton Brewing.
Maybe there's some dinosaurs there or something.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, in my journeyness, I'm going to have Dogfish Head's Tangia.
Journeyness.
This will be the most journeyness show of all of Beer Coasters.
Journeyness. I hope so.
Yes.
And I will be...
Lewis and Clark are rolling in their grave right now.
I will be trying Red Hook's 841 Expedition.
Oh, well, at least there's a name for this. 841 Expedition with the Beer Coasters.
And from there, we will do the Tweet of the Week, of course. And we might have some backwash. We still got to check in on that. And then we'll go into Last Call and give you our pint ratings for our adventurous beers today.
Beer travel show.
Adventuriness.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, you guys, let's get to cracking these. Let's go to the Southern Hemisphere real quick.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Yes, we get to drink some beer. Yes. All right, so this is the fermentation conversation. We are trying Sierra Nevada's Southern Hemisphere Fresh Hop Ale from 2010.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Do you have last year's?
No, I'm just kidding. I have 2010 as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. This is from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company out of Chico, California. Oh. They've been brewing since 1980 with head brewer and co-founder Ken Grossman. You can find them on the internet at
SierraNevada.com. The style is an American IPA with an ABV of 6.7%, coming in at the very nice range of 66 IBUs.
Very nice.
The hops they use in this are the Pacific Hallertau, the New Zealand Matuika, and the New Zealand Southern Cross hop.
Whoa.
They all do come from the great land of New Zealand. And the malts that they use are pale and caramel. Ooh, Great Beer gave this a 98 out of 100 with an A- from the Beer Advocate. Beer Advocate users. Crack 'em.
And so, do we want to talk about the fact that we've done this beer before?
Yes, but we
last year, 2009.
Was it the Southern Hemisphere?
Sure did.
So they have.
Which show? Did we do it for an IPA show?
It was a wild card
show. Or like
show.
A fresh hop yeah. ale show or something?
A wild card
wild
show.
Card. Wild card. So they Sierra Nevada does the regular harvest ale that comes out in the fall, and then they also have the Southern Hemisphere, which comes out in New Zealand's fall, which is springtime here in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's a little geography for you, for your ass.
Sweet. Beer Coaster's getting our learning on tonight.
I'm getting our learning.
Let's talk about the appearance here, fellas.
Is there like a light amber? Well,
on the appearance.
On the appearance.
Yes, light amber.
I got about two fingers of head. Tan head.
Very clear. Yeah, I got two fingers.
Mine's not that clear, but I think it's just from
the finger.
Chill.
That's
haze.
Some good retention.
Yeah, very good retention. Nice frothy head.
Frothed frostiness.
Some nice citrusy hops going on.
Like a malted citrus.
Yeah, I pick up on the really grainy malt.
Yeah. It's very nice aroma, I'll tell you right now.
Yes, it is.
Very nice.
It's very nice. It is very nice.
Man. Mm. Smells fresh.
Yes, it does. Take a sip.
It does. It doesn't have an overly strong scent to it.
Yes, it is very subtle. Woo.
Hoppy.
If there was a hop candy, I think that it would taste like this.
I think there is. It's called Southern Hemisphere Harvest from Sierra Nevada.
It has a very sweet yet bitter.
You're getting that caramel malt. You can
hop.
You can taste it. It's nice.
But it's weird. It's like a chewable, you know, like a candy chewable with hops in it.
It does have
Flintstones vitamins. Now with hops.
Very fresh, like clean taste to it as well.
It is. I like the malt character on the tongue though.
Yeah.
But it's got a nice dry finish.
Great. It's very well balanced. I mean, it's drinkable. This is like a very drinkable hoppy beer.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very
all about
well
getting those malts kind of up there to balance, and I think that they definitely do it here. I mean, it is hop forward for sure, but it's got malt to balance it out.
Yeah, it does finish very bitter and dry, but you know, while it's going down, it's very rounded and sweet malt.
I got kind of a flowery kind of inhaled when I sipped there and got kind of a like a sweet flowery sweetness. I see that.
Yeah, I see that.
Sweet flowery sweetness, absolutely.
Yeah. That's how we roll here on the Beer Coaster podcast.
Sweet and flowery.
Are you guys picking up on any alcohol? Just like a flavor of alcohol?
It is beer.
A little bit. Like I said, if you do that kind of breathe in, you get that.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to distinguish whether you're getting kind of a like an alcohol bitterness or a hop bitterness when you do that. But maybe a little bit of alcohol. Hmm. What was the ABV on this beer?
6.7. So
so it shouldn't really be apparent.
Yeah. It's interesting. What about a food pairing, guys? You had a chance to think about that?
I've been enjoying the beer too much to think about food. But Well, you could definitely go with something spicy with this to, you know, be able to handle it.
Yeah.
But
I could do spicy.
I don't know. I tend to do the same type of pairings where I'll go with like blackened this or like a spicy curry or something. I wanted to think of something a little bit different.
Take another whiff. Do you get that real earthy, dusty?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pick up on that?
I'm getting that graininess. A little bit more earthy. It's kind of dusty. Because I was getting really citrus, and now that it's warmed up just a little bit, I'm getting a little bit more of a graininess.
What would you pair it with, Chris?
Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to think about that. I think probably a grilled chicken of some sort. I keep wanting to say like a Mediterranean-style grilled chicken.
Hmm.
But I think I'd want something with a little more spice than that.
Hmm.
So...
I think maybe like a fish with like some kind of like a Jamaican jerk type spice would be pretty good with this.
What about you, Toby?
I picture a pepper jack cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I could see that.
Yep, that's what I'm going with: pepper jack cheeseburger.
Well, there you have it.
But one from New Zealand that has shredded carrots on it.
Nice. And their ketchup has no vinegar either.
Oh, yeah?
They call it.
Just very tomatoey.
Yeah, very tomatoey and sweet.
All right, so that is the Southern Hemisphere Fresh Hop Ale from 2010 from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, Chico, California.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
And for this week's Hot topics. We would like you to visit www.beercoasterspodcast.com/hop-topics.
Post comments, bitches.
Thank you.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Oh, hobbits. So for my hop topic this week, just...
Hobbit topic?
I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with roasting hobbits. I'm trying the Lost Continent from Grand Teton Brewing. That's Grand Teton Brewing out of Victor, Idaho. Their website is www.grandtetonbrewing.com. Style of this beer is a double IPA.
Ooh,
has an ABV of 8%.
Doubliness.
IBUs of 90 plus. So it's a hoppy one. The ingredients, the malts used, they used an Idaho two-row brewer's malt, German Caramel, and Vienna. For the hops, they use Simcoe, Columbus, Amarillo, Palisade, and Cascade.
Columbus, how appropriate for this show.
And then it's dry hopped with Mount Hood, Palisade, Amarillo, Cascade, and Nugget. So this is a hop beer.
Sounds like my beer that last time. I went through the ingredients list and it was like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a big one. What did they say? I think they use, it's like a ridiculous amount of hops per barrel. But anyway, the rate beer rating is a 93 out of 100. And the Beer Advocate users give it a B+ with nothing from the Allstrom Brothers. I'm going to... Defoil.
Bros.
Nice. Always like defoiling our beers.
We love defoiling our beers.
Okay, it's not defoiling very well.
Lost Continent. I love the little compass rose, the little hop in the middle.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very nice.
It is defoiled.
Has been defoiled.
Ooh.
Grand Look at that. God.
You know, it's funny. I never heard of these guys until you picked up some beers from them. And now I've seen it. Like, a few different places I've been, I've seen Grand Teton stuff. So,
Nice golden color. Not quite as dark as the Sierra Nevada, but golden to orangish color. I only got about a finger of head. Kind of fluffy. Not quite as root beer floaty. But... still decent.
And they do make root beer, by the way, if anybody was wondering.
That's cool.
And they make soda, root beer and ginger ale.
Very good. Oh, on the nose, I get citrus. It's got a very fruity nose to it. Smells like orange and lemon. A little bit of caramel in there. Very fruity.
Like Beer Coaster Chris. Are you Roscoe Pico train?
Yeah. I'm gonna sip.
Taking a sip.
Yeah. Along the same lines as the nose, it's got a very hop forward citrus flavor, but a very pronounced oranginess to it. So yeah. It's got a citrus, not necessarily a citrus sourness, but more of a citrus sweetness to it.
Hmm.
Sounds good.
It's actually very good. It's very tasty.
The double. I love double IPAs.
It's interesting though, because it doesn't feel.
Some of my favorite IPAs are double IPAs.
It doesn't taste. Well, hold on.
Holden.
On the back end, it's a little more bitter than I would have expected from the first taste of it. Yeah, I'm getting more.
See Toby's lacing on the glass there.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Impressive.
But it's tasty. It's got some interesting malt characters in there, and pretty well balanced for a double IPA.
That's what I think I like about doubles. I think they tend to be balanced. They actually do throw good heaping helpings of malt in there to balance stuff out.
Now, between a double and an imperial. Do you think that the Imperials are what they tend to be more like higher alcohol and
no in general, it's just kind of another name for the same type of thing. Sometimes they may have an Imperial that may be even hoppier than a double and call it an Imperial.
They're pretty much interchangeable or whatever, you know.
Yeah. But nowadays, I mean, Imperial, it's usually just the American version of it. It would be considered the Imperial version nowadays.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they have even triple IPAs, you know, so
wow.
It's interesting on this beer, back to, you know, my tasting flight.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's for how many different styles
back
of
to
hops
the lost continent
they're used, they all work really well together. It seems to be very well balanced and very smooth.
Right.
Unlike, say, something like the double IPA that Sam Adams did for their long shot. I forget who it was.
Right.
That one was
with the double
out of control.
The muddy, crazy.
Yeah, one I didn't like at all. But this one, much, much better and much, much cleaner and not as oh, that was a good one. Not as bitter.
On the bill.
It's very good, though. It's very tasty. If I was going to pair this with something...
Little Beer Coaster notes. Hops play well with others.
Yeah. Ooh, like a ribeye steak with a cracked peppercorn sauce.
Mmm.
I think would go really well with this.
Sweet.
So, that's my
peppercorn.
That's my pairing.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay, I read it now.
Yes.
I'm ready to do the show.
I'm taking it back.
I drink too long time. To a world
when there was only one continent. And that continent was Pangaea. This is Dogfish Head's Pangaea.
In a world.
Yeah, do it, Mike. Do it.
In a world. This is Dogfish Head Brewery out of...
Come on, movie Mike.
In out a of, world. Milton, Delaware.
With only one continent. It must fight to survive.
It's got no other continents to battle with.
Yeah. From ripping itself apart.
There you go.
Big bang. Okay. The website for this is www.dogfish.com. This beer is classified as a Belgian strong pale ale, according to Beer Advocate.
Rate Beer strong calls pale it ale?
Yes. Rate Beer calls it
like
a fruit
WTF
or spice
beer.
Beers, but
those guys are never right, so the rapier's got to be wrong. Dogfish Head calls it a malt beverage with crystallized ginger.
Ooh. Well, that's a spiced beer, then.
You take your pick.
There you go.
Oh, it's a ginger beer?
Malt liquor.
Damn, I thought we were going to do a ginger beer show.
We can still do that. There's other beers with ginger.
I got a ginger.
Ginger.
Yeah. I got the juju.
Yeah. Chris has got the juju.
I got the juju. All right,
back to my beer, my tasting site. The ABV on this beer is 7.0%, to quote Beer Coast Chris.
Nice.
And the IBUs on this beer are a weak 28.
Whoa.
Ingredients in this beer you may find interesting, because the whole concept of this beer is there are ingredients from all different continents. So you get the ginger from Australia, water from Antarctica, you get basmati rice from Asia,
rice beer on
Muscovado.
Top rice.
Yes, no, it gets better. Wait till the end. We get Muscovado sugar from Africa. There's South American quinoa, which I don't even know what that is.
That's like it's like a grain kind of, almost like ground up corn.
Yeah,
see, been there.
What'd I tell you? See, we're getting there.
No, I've had it.
Okay. What else? We get
so basically, it has the largest carbon footprint of any beer ever
there
made.
There we go.
Yes, right, exactly. They also have European yeast and North American maize. Can you believe it? Yes. I'm maize. Drinking a beer with
it's
corn
amazing.
And rice in it. Okay, Rate Beer rates this 85 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B. And the Alstrom Brothers rate this a B plus. I'm cracking it. This is a
Beer
Coasters
podcast.
250 milliliter bottle.
Supporting global warming for 2 years now.
Yes. It is a little darker than your average Belgian.
What kind of glass did you pour that in?
It's a big gulp.
What the Did it sound like he was pouring forever and then he pulls up this tiny little glass?
I have my microphone set on hyper sound. That was a cool effect, huh?
Yeah.
So, it is a golden color. A little cloudy, but I think there's a little bit of haze just because of that it's still cold. Very little head, almost non-existent. There's a nice film on the top. Not much in the way of lacing. Right away, I smell ginger. There's like a very grainy kind of ginger.
Hmm.
There's some malt, but smells almost kind of like a malted ginger.
That was more of a Marianne.
And you get that Belgian... Almost like a bubblegummy type clove. Taking a sip.
Oh, thanks for letting us know.
Taking a sip, yeah!
This is... It's kind of like a light Belgian with a lot of ginger. Like, it's got that the Belgian characteristics to it. As far as the aroma and the flavor and even the body. Maybe even a little bit lighter than your average Belgian. But that ginger is definitely there. There's something else in here, too. It's almost like kind of a fruity aspirin or something. I know that sounds like maybe bad.
Fruity aspirin? Like a Flintstone vitamin?
Almost like a chewable aspirin. Maybe a little bit of orange. There's some spices in there, too. It's got kind of a medium body. I'm kind of like it. It's definitely lighter. And there's not a... All the flavors are are fairly subtle, except for the ginger. The ginger pops up, but it's not like it completely takes away from everything else. But it's obvious, you know, when they mention that it's made with ginger, that is kind of the main component of the beer.
Well, plus ginger's pretty strong too.
Yeah, I mean it's very spicy.
And when you're, you know, brewing it with rice, which has, you know, almost no character to it.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I was worried about with this beer, is that the rice and the corn would basically thin it out. And it's thinner, like I said, in flavor and mouthfeel than your average Belgian beer, but it's kind of nice. If I were going to pair this with anything, you guys have ever had the chicken satay with the, you know, the chicken skewers with like a peanut sauce? I think it would go good with this because I think it's a really subtle, but you get some nice ginger character. And I think ginger, like one of my favorite things is to get like Chinese takeout, even though I know this is Thai, but to get Chinese takeout and have ginger ale, I just think it's a great drink to have with it. So I think the ginger in a beer, this would be a really good pairing to have with Asian food. So,
and it'll freshen your breath.
Yeah. So there you have it. Dogfish Head Pangea.
That's cool how you like said the name of the beer at the end of your segment. I should try that next time.
Wasn't that nice?
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
We named the dog Indiana.
So this is Toby out west. I am trying the 841 Expedition from Red Hook.
Captain's Log 841.
Yeah. The 841 means it was 8 brewers working in 4 teams to brew one beer.
And the partridge in a pear tree.
Red Hook is out of Seattle, Washington. They've been brewing since 1981. They also have a brewery in Woodinville, Washington, and Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And I believe they are members of the Craft Brewers Alliance. Their head brewer and founder is Paul Shipman and Gordon Boker. Now, the brewmaster for this beer is Greg Desch, I believe.
Brewmasters?
The website is www.redhook.com. The style is an American-style Imperial Brown.
It's American.
Coming in at 9.5%.
It's Imperial.
Whoa.
With 55 IBUs. It's part of their limited release series. And it came out in the spring of 2010. It's like their spring summer limited release.
You know, Red Hook seems like they stole one of our lines, because underneath Red Hook now it says liquid goodness. And that sounds like something that we would say.
Yeah, totally.
We need to hire a lawyer.
Yes, we do.
You must cease and desist your liquid goodness campaign. Okay. So the ingredients that they use are, the malts are pale, wheat, Munich, caramel, chocolate, and smoked malt.
Ooh.
The hops that they use are Alchemy, Cascade, Willamette, Crystal, and Sterling, with the addition of honey, brown sugar, and candy sugar. Oh.
I'm in love.
It's oak aged.
This is crazy.
Rate beer.
For Red Hook, this is like
some
hardcore craft beeriness.
Rate Beer gave this an 89 out of 100 with a B from the Beer Advocate users. Cracking it.
They pouring actually it. List the shelf life 365 days.
So it pours out a nice brownish red. Actually, it's more of a reddish brown, I should say. You can see through on the sides and the bottom, but in the middle you can't see through it. I got about a finger of off-white, kind of sort of semi-frothy head, I guess.
Semi-frothy.
Oh wait, now I'm getting some better. Oh, yeah, you can see through it. It's a reddish brown. On the nose.
Why don't you get it a little further in there and you will get some on your nose.
Chill.
Got some head on the nose.
Ooh, this very toasted chocolate.
Toasted, toasty, chocolatey, chocolatiness. Mm.
Slight hint of alcohol. A little bit of brown sugar and kind of a chalky chocolate.
Chalky chocolate.
It smells like a chocolatey barley wine, almost.
That don't sound too
but
bad.
But it's not very strong.
That would
it's,
really
it's
go
pretty,
well
it's pretty
together,
subtle.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's chocolate pretty subtle.
Barley wine. I like that.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
You do that, then.
Be good with strawberries. Chocolate barley wine with strawberries.
Nice mouthfeel. It's got a nice kick to it in the beginning, and then it mellows out.
55 IBUs. Sounds like it's right up there.
I can see. I am picking up on the oakiness. It's actually. It's not going to kick you in the ass like a barley wine does. It's a little more
oakiness or the
mellow
the
than that.
Smokiness.
The whole thing.
Oh, that's right. It does. You said it's got oak chips.
It was oak aged, with and brewed with honey sweet. And brown sugar and candy sugar. There's some chocolate coming through, a nice kind of a woody oaky.
Sounds good.
Nice and there's really
this,
sweet
I mean,
too.
I'm very surprised in the description of all this from Red Hook. Not that I'm biased or anything.
Well, yeah, I would imagine it's sweet with honey, brown sugar, and candy sugar all
the added honey. The honey is definitely coming through. Wow, this is really tasty. If you like sweet beers, this is a sipper after dinner. I don't even know if I would pair this with dessert.
We were just saying, I don't know if you heard us, we were saying like with strawberries, it sounds like it might be okay because of the chocolate.
Strawberries might work. I wouldn't put this with a dessert, you know what I mean? Like if you were going to eat some fruit with it, yeah, I'd see that. Some berries, some strawberries or
raspberries.
I think strawberries is probably a good way to go because I wouldn't go with anything too tart. Like a raspberry or anything like that or a schnozberry.
Yeah.
I'd stay away from
those are really tart. You want the schnozberries are just kind of off the charts in their bitterness units. I think it's like the BBUs. It's like a berry bitterness unit or something like that. It's not international.
Very
it's
nice.
Very berry oriented. It's not international.
Very nice. And I don't know if I would age this longer than a year. I'd say sometime in 2010, drink this. Don't wait past 2010. So I think you guys are spot on with the strawberries, though. I'll go with
but
that.
But you don't want to age your strawberries. Because, you want to have fresh strawberries. You don't want to age those for a year.
Yeah. Yeah,
no.
Just for your
and you
for
might
new,
even
new listeners
you might even
out there.
Chocolate dip a couple, but
although if you age the strawberries for a year, you might get more drunk off of them than you would off of this.
Yeah, maybe. So this is the 841 Expedition from Red Hook
Strawberry Wine.
Lord Voldemort 7 says,
Lohan's out of rehab. She was cured in just 23 days. It takes about 28 to brew the beer that I will have her unconscious in a few hours.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week.
Okay. That was a quick trip, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a quick trip.
Quick trip around the world. of American craft beer.
American craft beer.
So, Chris, how about
around
a pint?
Around the wart in 80 days.
How about a pint? Some pint ratings. Rate.
Yeah. Less than 80 minutes.
Yeah. For the Sierra Nevada Southern Hemisphere Harvest, I really like this beer. I love how balanced it is for such a hop-forward beer. It was enjoyable. I think I'm going to probably stick with what I gave the 2009 version, and I'm going to keep it at a four-pinter. Very great. Enjoyable, and I could definitely have a few of these. Four pints. For the Lost Continent from Grand Teton Brewing.
That's more than a few. Four pints is more than a few.
Yeah.
I was never too good at that there math.
that there math.
there math. the Lost Continent from Grand Teton Brewing. I like this beer. Especially for a double IPA, with how many different hops they used in it, it still felt very balanced, which was nice, because I've definitely had beers that try to combine lots of hops and fail miserably. It was very enjoyable. I'm actually going to give that one four pints as well. I think both these beers this week were
nice.
Were very good, solid performers.
Awesome. About you, Mike?
Well, for the Sierra Nevada Southern Hemisphere Harvest Fresh Hop Ale, it's tough because I kind of feel like I should give it the same as I gave last year. I'm not quite sure why I gave it 4.5 last year. I guess I should go back and check. I want to give this one a 4. I really enjoyed it. I think it was a great IPA. Nothing in particular stood out, though, to make this kind of phenomenal. I did like the caramel malt, though, so I think that made a difference in this beer. So, I don't know. Part of me wants to give it a 4.5 like last year, but I think I'm going to give it a 4 because I don't know why I gave it 4.5 last year. But I really enjoyed it.
All right.
For the Dogfish Head Pangea... this beer is better than I expected. It's lighter than most Dogfish. You know, like Dogfish Head and
yeah,
and
those
Stone,
Dogfish are pretty heavy, kind of especially when you have to pull them out of the sand.
Yeah, exactly. And they're fighting, swishing their tails around, gnashing their teeth. Anyway, it's very enjoyable. It's not too heavy. There's a very bold ginger aspect to this beer. I think this would be a great beer to kind of introduce to people that are craft beer curious, if you will. much better than I expected. I'm going to give this a 4. I know that a lot of people weren't too impressed with this beer from what I've read and what I've heard. And I enjoy it. I think it's a great beer. It's a very sessionable is a word. Sure. it's a really good session beer,
dude.
For Belgian, So check it out if you get a chance. It actually doesn't come out until September, so you won't be able to get it until.
I've got a sidetrack here for a second.
Oh, I thought I was doing a perfectly good job.
No, you are. But
whatever.
I just had a great idea for a podcast. Get two like really cute hot chicks and do a beer podcast, a video beer cup podcast called Craft Beer Curious. That would rock.
I'm liking it.
Nice.
All right. Let's make sure that we get that URL before this podcast airs. Yeah. Craftbeercurious.com is property of the Beer Coasters Podcast.
We'll see you in court. So, for my pint ratings, you know, the Sierra Nevada Southern Hemisphere. Extremely well balanced, very drinkable. Mm. I would even say if it's almost a gateway IPA, because it's it does have that great malt character and that nice sweetness and undertone that kind of carries the hops nicely, because the hops are very present, but they're not overpowering. Because when a lot of people, you know, we've said this before, people drink Sierra Nevada Pale Ale and they're just like, well, it's way too bitter. Mm-hmm. This is kind of taking the pale ale and making it sweeter and more drinkable, in mm-hmm. my opinion. So I would say if you got somebody that's craft beer curious and they want to try an IPA, I think this is a great way to have them check out an IPA. I'm going to give it 4.5. So I'm gonna stick with my last year, and I'm gonna say 4.5. Sorry guys, I couldn't do 3 4s for the Sierra Nevada.
Loser.
I had to break it up.
All right.
I really like it. It's an excellent beer. The Red Hook 841 Expedition. I said it was a sipper before, and I'm still thinking it's a sipper, but it's actually, as it's warming up, it's not as thick and
alcoholic.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to put it. I mean, it's a little bit more drinkable.
It could still be a dessert beer without necessarily being a sipper. You know what I mean? Like, if it's got that sweetness, but it's not something that you would want to have, like, you know, a hot summer day or whatever. But
it's very, very sweet, and it's still delicious. I mean, it's a delicious beer. It does have a little bit of hoppiness in there that you can pick up on, a little bit of bitter hops. I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm gonna go with 4 on the Expedition. But yeah, check it out. I mean, it's a sipper, yet it's still, I don't know, somewhat drinkable in the sipper realm. I don't know. Let's move on.
A sessional sipper?
I guess so. I would split this with somebody. Sense? This 22-ounce bottle, I would split it with somebody. okay.
Go. Cool.
And that is redhook.com. And our fermentation conversation this week was Sierra Nevada. You can find them at sierranevada.com. You guys have any other shout-outs?
Just grandtetonbrewing.com.
And craftbeercurious.com coming soon.
Shh. God. Ruin it.
Dogfish.com?
Yeah, everybody knows that one. Dogfish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
www.dogfish.com.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing that. I would have said, oh, you know how to get to Sierra Nevada. Jeez.
Sure.
We are on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. You can follow us there. And we are also in the Facebook.
We are in
Beer Coasters Podcast.
We're in the Facebook.
We're all up in the Facebook.
Comment suggestions, favorite beer, favorite bar. You can always email us backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or if you have a telephone and you know how to dial.
Telephone.
Leave us some audio backwash at 972-914-8502.
Doesn't that sound funny when you say telephone?
Yeah. As opposed to a cellular phone.
Cellular phone.
Check out our website. Our website is www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can make all kinds of cool little things on there, like suggestions and whatnot, like we mentioned before. Especially comments, post comments for the hop topics. Yeah. That's like
it's
our
your one stop shop.
Yeah, that's our favorite thing, is to get comments on the hop topic section. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You'll find us there. Beer Coasters Podcast. Search for us. You'll find us. We're there. Yeah.
And if you want to pick up some swag, some t-shirts or some steins or some
stickers.
Right. You can go to cafepress.com/beercoasterspod. And don't forget to tell your friends. And of course, thank you for listening
And as always, just stop by Aces and Ales in Las Vegas, Nevada, and mention the Beer Coasters podcast, and you get a free pint on the house.
Getting free pints.
Support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive.
Drink local, damn it.
This local's fresh. Damn it.
Yes, that's right. Don't you forget it. Damn it.
Cheers.
That's it, folks.
Damn it.
Cheers. 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 Everybody, let me get my glasses.
Man, oh. Oh, that was weak.
Oh, come on. Hang on.
That was better.
That was dumb.
They both have liquid in them. It should work.
Maybe you should drink some more.
Making them clank. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got 750 mil. Bitches. We love defoiling our beers. Big bang.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
We're good?
We're good.
That's usually what happens.
Hello again, everybody.
Again.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast.